So this week in the Torah, it's Parshas Terumo. So the Torah says, speak to the Jewish people, v'yikchu li Terumo. So how do you translate this verse? V'yikchu, they should take li, for me, Truma, an offering. Litroim is generally understood to be an elevated offering from the word rum. So the question is, why did God express this command in this way? Would have been more grammatically correct to say v'yoviu li teruma. They bring, let them bring me an offering. V'yikhu is to take. So, over the years that we've been learning, one of the thoughts that comes up every year is God says v'yikhu li, let them take me. So, after the story of the Egel, after we worshipped the golden calf, then God says, "V'osu l'migdash v'shachanti b'seicham." Let them make me a sanctuary in which I can dwell. Prior to that, there hadn't been a necessity for a Mishkan. Prior to that, we were on a different level. When the Jewish people said, "Kol ha'shedibar Hashem na'aseh v'nishma," everything that God has said, we will do and we will listen. A voice came out from heaven saying, "Migilo Rozu Lebonai," who revealed this secret to my children? An expression, Loshen Asher Malachei Hashoreis Mishtamshin Boy, that the ministering angels, this is the way ministering angels speak. What's the difference between a regular angel and a ministering angel? Do we know what an angel is? But if you ask somebody, what's the difference between an angel and a ministering angel, he'll say, well, the ministering angel is on a higher level. The highest level. So, now we know that there are levels with angels. How can you have levels by angels? If an angel is just a non-physical thing. So, again, without knowing what an angel is and being able to visualize or depict or imagine an angel, you have to say that there's something about the way God communicates to the angel that is not as immediate as the communication with the ministering angel. Last week we were saying that an angel is a mitzvah, a command. You do the word of God. That word of God, that action, is the angel. So the na'aseh, the doing, comes even before the listening. At the level of God speaking, the action is immediate. You know, when it's thundering, when there's a storm on, with this thunder and lightning, right? the sound of the thunder comes later, because it's traveling at the speed of sound. The lightning is faster, so it looks as though the lightning is happening before the thunder happens, and yet they're virtually instantaneous, because as you go closer and closer and closer, it seems to happen at the same time. I imagine if somebody gets struck by lightning, they hear it at the same time as they feel it. So God says, Migilu Roz Zula Bonai, who has revealed this mystery? At the moment that we said Nasa Venishma and we became like the Malachi Hashores, we became ministering angels, meaning that our reaction time was so fast that it looked as though we were acting before we even heard what was being said. On a spiritual level, that means we were being moved even before we knew we were being commanded. And the deepest level of the heart, it means that we were being moved by the Spirit. When we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, in the first chapter, it talks about the very first level is Ruach. The second is Ruach Meruach. The third was Mai Meruach. The fourth was Esh Mimayim. The first level of Ruach is Divrei Elokim Chaim. The first spirit, the first breath, is the breath that is, so to speak, inside God. The second breath is breath from breath. That's the breath that has been uttered, has been spoken, has been breathed out. So to be moved by the first breath, to be moved by the Ruach Elokim Boi, that is so close of the Yishakenim and Yishikos Pi, you know, when God is kissing me on the mouth, then our breaths, you know, our spirit, the air in us is connected so much that even before God breathes out, we already experience the breath. So when you are saying Nas Venishma and the angels are coming down and putting their crowns, then at that moment it's the kissing on the mouth. And when we were in that state, we didn't need a mishkan, we didn't need a dwelling place, we didn't need a physical space outside ourselves where God says, you know, this is where I want to dwell so that I can be with you. Because there was no distance. There was no distance. We were united. And so the Torah that we were moved by is this, the Torah that comes, is the Torah Shebachsav, the written Torah that comes Baal Peh, that comes through the mouth. And then we worship the Golden Calf. And everything is broken. Now God says, make me a dwelling place, a house made of wood, tapestries, and a roof, and walls, and a floor, because I want to be with you. And it turns out, it turns out that this is what God wanted in the first place. God wanted Dira B'Tachtonim, God wanted to dwell here in this world. And at Sinai, we were no longer of this world. And so we had to fall, and then God said, please take me with you. Because history needs to unfold the way it needs to unfold. So God says to Moshe, tell the Yidden, v'yikhuli, let them take me. But you know, there are so many different ways of taking God. So God says, take me to Rumo, Nevdildik. Take me separate. Take me in a way that's holy and elevated from the way you take other things. And you have to say that there are very many devout people all over the world practicing all kinds of religion, all different forms of faith, and all the manifold practices that the human spirit and mind and heart has created and brought forth. Rabbeinu Shalom says, Yidelach, you have to show the world, Nishtos Meinach, I don't mean this. It's true, V'yikholi, I want everybody to take me. But to Rumo, I want to be taken to Rumo. I want to be taken in a way that it's completely different from the way you take everything else. I don't want to be part of your everyday life that you deal with in the way that you deal with everything else in your life. It's true, you can take me that way, and a kabillion, zillion people have done so. But Rabbeinu Shem says, I want to be taken to Rumo. So, inside the Mishkan, inside the sanctuary, there's a Holy of Holies. Inside the Holy of Holies is a box, an Aron. Inside the box are the Luchos, the broken Luchos. The broken Luchos are maybe on a little outside, or in the box are the Luchos, the Torah. So, the Torah says, God says to Moshe, V'osu aroin atzi shittim, they should make a box, an ark, of shittim wood. Amasayim v'chetzi arkoi, 2.5 cubits long, v'ama v'chetzi rochboi, 1.5 cubits wide, v'ama v'chetzi kaimosoi, 1.5 cubits high, V'tzipisa oisoi zohov tohar, and cover it with pure gold, mibayis umichutz tzapenu, inside and outside. So the Gemara says, and Rashi brings, Shloisho aroinois osu b'tzala. B'tzala made 3 boxes, base shel zohov ve'alef shel eitz, 2 boxes of gold, and 1 box of wood. So he made a gold box, and inside it he put the wooden box. And inside that wooden box he put another gold box. So the question is, why didn't Bezalel just do what God commanded? Make a wooden box and cover it with gold. when God commanded him to make the kroshim, the walls of the Mishkan were made of these boards, and they were coated, but they weren't made in that form, you know, a box inside. They were coated, tzipui, a cover. They were covered in gold. Why, when it came to the Aron, he didn't cover it in gold. He made boxes. So there's some ishbitz of Torah. First of all, the ishbitz says that in the heart we have three different aspects. There's the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. There's the Melech, the king, the queen. And there's the Tzaddik Yisod Olam, the Tzaddik who's the fundament of the world. You could see this like everybody has inside them Moshe and Aaron and Yosef. You have the leader, the king. You have the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, and you have the tzaddik who worships. So what's the difference? The Kohen Gadol is not really in this world at all. The Kohen Gadol is really a servant of God. As such, he's like an angel. The high priest, in the role of high priest, doesn't really represent himself in any way. Is just a functionary. Completely forget about this world. And so the Kohen Gadol needs a tzaddik. The tzaddik is going to connect the Kohen Gadol with the world. The Kohen Gadol, in his duty connecting to God, doesn't really have a thought to passing on what he's receiving to the world. Because in that part of us which is the Kohen Gadol, that part of us which is the high priest, is in a state of ecstatic worship of God. And there's nobody to receive. So the tzaddik is yesod. The tzaddik is the flow, the conduit through which everything flows into this world. The shefa, the brocha. Boni chai mezoina, the seed that flows into the world to irrigate and to nurture and to propagate and to take care of. That's the tzaddik. His avodah is to connect and to bring down. On the other hand, you have the melech, the king. The king represents the power of desire. Says Lev Melochim B'yad Hashem, the heart of kings is in the hand of God. The heart of kings is just open to receive. The whole idea of Malchus Leis Lemigar Meiklum has nothing of its own, only what it's given. it's easy to get bogged down if we start to think about a king in real life and say, in what way does that represent Malchus, right? In what way does that represent this Teshuka? You know, if I think of the king of Jordan, you know, it's hard, but if I imagine David HaMelech, if I imagine King David, if I imagine Mashiach, then all he has is a desire to receive on the part of his people, because he's Oyev Yisro. Because all he wants is to receive from God the Shefa that he can give and spread out in his nation. David HaMelech, for him, Malchus meant that constantly he's davening for Mechila, he's davening for forgiveness, he's davening for Slicha, he's davening for Kapora, he's davening for Yeshua, he's davening for salvation, he's davening for enlightenment, he's davening for Torah, he's davening for Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh, he's davening for the Halacha, he's davening for clarity, he's davening for peace, he's davening for all these things. This is his whole mahus. His being as an entity is only in this constant state of tshuka, of desire and longing. The thing is, the king doesn't always have the kelim, doesn't always have the vessels in which to hold the shefa if it should come. Doesn't always have the das, doesn't always have the knowledge, doesn't always have the connection. So what's to stop the overflow? What's to stop destruction coming in just from superabundance? Again, that's the job of the tzaddik yisod olam. Yisod has the power to withhold. Yosef HaTzadik is the ultimate example of knowing when not to. So the tzaddik really is vital to the function of the Kohen Godol and of the Melech. The high priest and the king can't function without a tzaddik. So these are the three aroinois, the three boxes in which the Torah is. See, Bezalel knows it's not enough to make a box and cover it inside and outside. That there has to be three separate boxes. Because once we've broken the Luchos, once we've worshipped the golden calf, once we've disconnected from the Neshikos Piu, the kisses on the mouth that came at the moment of Matan Torah, then we no longer have whole Kelim, we no longer have the whole vessels, that part of us which is the Melech, that part of us which is the Kohen Godol, and that part of us which is the Tzaddik. Now it's no longer integrated. Each one has to be nurtured, each one has to be given its own arena and space in which to work. And in order to hold the Torah inside yourself, all three, the Melech, the Kohen Godol, and the Tzaddik, have to have their own way to work. Navos, they also have to be separate. Because until Mashiach is coming, there are distinctions. And if we don't distinguish between that part of us which is the Melech and that part which is the Tzaddik, then so much desire can flow inside us that we go crazy. And if we don't distinguish between that part which is the tzaddik and that part which is the kohen gadol, then we can become so detached from reality, again, we go crazy. And what's the whole purpose of everything? The Torah which is inside the heart. Because the Torah which is inside the heart, this is where the Ribbono Shel Olam has written himself. Anoichi, Ano Nafshoi Kesivas Yehovah, I myself am writing. God is writing himself into the heart. The son of the Ishvitzer, the Noiz Deshe, he has another take. He says like this, he asks the question, why Bezalel makes three aroinis? Why didn't he just coat the wood? And he goes deeper. There's an idea that the Torah isn't just inside. The Torah is deeper than that. The Torah isn't just deeper than that. The Torah is inside, inside, inside. He brings a medrash, and I love when the Pshischa Chassidim, they go back to medrash, and they treat it so seriously. Like, it's strange, we don't find in other places really that people pay as much attention to the Medrash Rabba as in this small avenue of the Polish Hasidus, right? To understand that that the Medrash has the same gravity as the Gemara, the same authority, the same voice. And just as we can spend 2,000 years going deeper and deeper into the Gemara until, you know, you can fill whole libraries with commentaries, we have to do the same with the Medrash, otherwise we're missing, because it's in the Medrash that the Chachamim wrote all the things that they couldn't write in the Gemara. So, if there are three Midrashim, then there's three different, you know, if there's three different opinions in a Medrash, or three different levels in a Medrash, then there's three secrets. So he brings a medrash here in the pasuk. Ve'yikholi truma, they should take me to truma. Haynu hu d'oma, this is the meaning of the verse in the Song of Songs. Ani yesheinu v'libi er, I am asleep, but my heart is awake. So the medrash says, Ani yesheinu min haketz, I'm asleep from salvation. I'm asleep from the end. Like, the implication is that I've given up waiting for Mashiach. V'libi er, but my heart is still awake. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is God. Shenem, as it's written, Tzur Levovi, the rock is my heart. So the rock is my heart. God is the rock. Dova Ache, another explanation of I am asleep but my heart is awake. Ani yeshenu min ha-mitzvos, I'm asleep from doing the Torah, from doing the mitzvos. I'm asleep on the job. I'm supposed to be working, but I'm asleep. Avol zechus ovois omdali. V'libi er means my heart is awake, but it means that my ancestors, their merit is still there for me. My ancestors are my heart. Dova Ache, another explanation. Ani yishena b'masa egel, I'm asleep in the worshipping of the golden calf. V'libi er, and my heart is awake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu marati kolai, God is waking me up. God is holding on to me. God is connecting with me by saying, take me an offering. Asuli migdash, make me a sanctuary, she'eshkoim b'nechem, that I dwell among you. So, the Neus Deshe says like this. there are three things that are stopping us from, they're not stopping us from worshiping, they're stopping us from even opening up to the idea of worship. There are things about me that I'm so embarrassed at. I'm afraid even to just say hi to God. I'm ashamed. It says, Shloisha Menias Shabavuram Ein Odam Nichnas Lavidis Hashem Izbach. There are three things stopping me from even approaching, saying to God, here, I've made your place. What are they? So what? The first is, I'm in despair. Person is like giving up. 100 years, 1,000 years, the Crusades and the Almohades and the Muslims and the Christians and the this expulsion and that expulsion and this massacre and that massacre and these tortures of Kiddush Hashem and this story and this Geschichte and then the Holocaust. What you gonna say? All the promises that we've seen that, Mashiach is coming. Mashiach is here. We heard him already on the streets. He came. This for sure is the beginning. These are the footsteps. There you can't. You hear the shofar blowing. This is the shofar of Eliyahu Novi come to. What happened? It's all gone. The people who told us those promises are dead long ago. All the people that we were told, you know, that when his Zayde, this Rebbe said, this child is going to see Mashiach. The child is dead already. So, what happened to all the promises? Well, you know, like, so, I come to God and say, Rabban Shalom, you know, I'm here, I'm fresh, and this and that, but, you know, hey, but Heshi, where is your heart? Where's your believing? So then I have to start making excuses. And so this is one of the great menios. This is ani yesheno min haketz. I've fallen asleep because of the end, because the Mashiach didn't come and I didn't see salvation. All I see is, you know, it's like the unraveling of religion. Now we get told that there's a certain chemical in the brain, a certain region in the brain that makes people have faith and makes people believe in the... You know, like, we in our time, we're seeing the deconstruction of this whole edifice of religion from 2,000 years. So what's left? So the Noiz Deshi says, "V'libi er, my heart is awake. Zeh Hakadosh Baruch Hu, this is God. Shenema, as it's written, Tzur Levavi, the rock is my heart." So, the very fact that we are still in this dialogue. When is Mashiach coming? Is Mashiach really coming? Did he come? Maybe we missed him. Is the fact that we, after thousands of years, are still aware, you know, that we haven't, like, nobody has to come to the Jewish people and say, you know, one of the Jewish beliefs is a belief in the Messiah, and we say, oh, really? Yeah. Oh, we've forgotten that. The fact that we haven't forgotten that, and that every one of us is aware of this messianic idea that we're waiting. This is the grace of Nes. This is the miracle Shalei Kederach HaTeva. It's completely unnatural. That nobody has to come and teach us new the belief in salvation, that didn't change. It doesn't matter how much people deconstruct the texts and the religion and the faith and the 13 principles of faith and this and that. The fact that we're still in this dialogue and waiting and talking about, oh, how have we given up, or how we're not going to be giving up, is this complete miracle. It doesn't make any sense logically. If we look at historically, in the last 50 years, ideas that were so ingrained in the human mind in this country, you know, that everybody took for granted, that will never be shaken, and young people today can't even, you know, if you were to ask them in school to name these things, it would be impossible. If you think back to the Victorian times, to the 19th century, things that people believed about the human body, about the human mind, the human soul, about the difference between men and women, between the different classes, upper class and middle class and lower class, and these were as rigid and as real to people as black or white, as like day and night. Today, people go, I wouldn't even know what you're talking about. So the fact that all these, everything that people knew, these ideas are gone. And this idea that we're waiting for Mashiach, or we are waiting, or we know how good are we waiting, is our emunah real in Mashiach? That's pure miracle. So ani yishena, I'm asleep, v'libi er, but Kadosh Baruch Hu is awake, doesn't mean God is awake. It means that part inside my heart, which is in despair, is only the conscious part of me. The ani yishena, the part of me which is sleeping, is the conscious part of me. The subconscious part of me is wide awake. And God is wide awake. So inside everybody, there's a wide awakeness that is the presence of God. The second reason that we're afraid to approach God, she'odom is atzel ba'avodas Hashem Yisbarach, ani yesheinu min ha'mitzvos, I'm asleep from the mitzvahs, meaning I do mitzvahs like, yeah, I'm used to it. Yeah, I put on tefillin because I'm used to it. Well, I should stop after all these years. Well, I should stop. I should stop davening. I should stop making Shabbos. Oh, come on, you know, it's like I've been doing it my whole life. It's impossible for me to forget. At this point, you know what, I'd have to become another person for me to stop doing these things. So I do them. It's ani yishenam in the mitzvahs. I'm doing the mitzvahs fast asleep. So the Medrash says, "V'libi er, my heart is awake." These are the avos; these are the ancestors, the mothers and the fathers. What does that mean? So the Nois Desha says, the problem is when I get bored with a mitzvah, when I stop seeing something new in it, it's not fresh. That means I'm doing it sleepwalking, yeah. But the Ovois, our ancestors, they never did anything bored. They were not capable of boredom. Everything they were doing was pioneering work, and everything was always fresh. That's the meaning of those icons that we hold up, the ancestors of Rav Yitzchak Yankiv, the Shvotim, the tribes, and the mothers, and Egypt, and the way we came out, and the 600,000 receiving the Torah. It was all newness. Everything was new, right? Us today, we have so much going on that, you know, we're bored with this classical stuff and again and again and again, it's the same. So the Medrash tells us, no, v'libi er, inside me, my fathers, my ancestors, my mothers, Sora Rivka Ruchla, still wide awake, they're operating. When I'm doing a mitzvah consciously, I may seem to be asleep, but unconsciously, subconsciously, those parts of me that are still, you know, the primal archetypal in my genes, the sparks coming out of my tefillin, right? The mitzvah that I do is full of hislahavus and passion. The waking part of me is asleep. But the heart, in the heart of the heart, is wide awake and is being mechadish new Torah all the time. Because that part of me isn't capable, that part of me is new and young. It's not capable of boredom and laziness. And the third thing, Ani yishena b'masa ego. I am asleep in the worshipping of the golden calf. What does it mean? It means I'm afraid to come to God because I'm ashamed. Because I know what I do. I know what I do. So what? I'm going to now come to God and it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make time out from my personal life where I'm enjoying myself and I'm going to devote half an hour to pray. Huh? So, what does the Mishnah say? What does the Medrash say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu martik olai v'yikholi teruma. God's saying to me, Nu, take me. Take me teruma. Klum yesh ben misbayesh lachse etzel oviv. The Medrash says, is there such a thing as a child who's embarrassed to come to the father? What's there? No such thing. So the Nois Deshe says the kavanah of the Medrash would never occur to us if you'd have said Kindelach, alright, you did the Egel, now we're going to fix it. If you would have asked 600,000 Jews, each one, to give you an idea of what the fixing of the Egel, of the golden calf worshiping the world should be, none of them would have said, make me a sanctuary that God can dwell, come down from heaven as a cloud and dwell between the wings of the cherubs that everybody can see. Like no. Oh, what is it? Fasting, and he would have said scourging, and he would have said confessing, and everybody would have had a different way of fixing, but nobody would have said closeness, intimacy. That never would have occurred. So Ani Yesheno mi Masa Egel, I'm asleep because of the Masa Egel, because I'm afraid to wake up into the enormity of this horrible thing that I've contrived with my idol worshiping. God saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. I'm here, I want, and let me in. So that's why Bezalel makes three aroinos. That's why Bezalel makes three boxes. So that we should be aware of the three curtains, the three walls that we put up against entering into the worship of God. And then he adds something like this. The Torah tells us that we should make the box of Atzei Shittim. It says, V'osu aroin Atzei Shittim, they should make a box, an ark of Shittim wood. Why Shittim wood? Because it says that the Yidden sinned in Shittim. When we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, we were talking about how in Shittim there was there are different waters. There are waters that people who live by those waters, they're clever, and some are dumb. Some waters encourage beautiful people, and some the waters, whatever, they have minerals in it, and people who drink that water are ugly, and so forth. And there are mayonois, there are waters that turn people to very licentious people without sexual boundaries. Huh? And that was the water of Shittim, where they were in Arvis Moav, in the plains of Moav, and that's where the story of the 24,000 from the tribe of Levi, from the tribe of Shimon, and the story of Zimri and Cosby has happened there in Shittim. Vayochal Am Liznois and Spenois Moav. Midian. So The Torah tells us, make the box of shittim wood. Why? Because the Ishbitzer says, what was the Maaseh Egel? What was the deepest part of the sin of Maaseh Egel, of the golden calf? Was not, we didn't want to worship idols. We wanted to have permission to have the kinds of worship of God that the pagans had. Mostly there was sexual worship. And in Judaism, there's very little sexual worship. Agam, the Yid HaKodesh used to say, I don't know why people don't have sex in the Beis HaMikdash like they put on tefillin. Such a holy act. We should do it in shul, like you're putting on tefillin in shul. But that's because the Yid HaKodesh, the holy Yid, was really holy. Yeah, we didn't want that kind of holiness, right? We wanted license. Yeah, so Bezalel takes the box of wood, which is the Aron HaTzeshitim. That is the box of wood all on its own, and he coats it on this side with Ani Yisheno from the Kates. I'm despairing because of the amount of time that it's taking for the salvation to come. And on the inside, I'm in despair because I just can't get passionate about the mitzvahs. And in between, sandwiched in between them, is another box of this desire, sexual desire. Inside that is the Torah.